Amen. 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 Do we not serve a wonderful God?
Amen.
Do we not serve a wonderful God?
Amen.
All right. And we play for our wonderful captain, do we not? The captain of our souls. We are Team Jesus. And we are here for one reason and one reason only. The glory of our Lord and our Savior. When people know the glory of God, when they understand who He is and what He's done, they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can't help it. You know the goodness of God. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? You look to the Scriptures. You look to see Jesus. You see who He is, what He taught, how He acted, His heart. Then you know who God is. Because He is God. And that is who we play for. He has chosen us to be on His team, the church. He is our captain. We play as hard as we can for Him. Being salt and light in this world, and it needs it. Today we're going to continue our study within 2 Peter chapter 3. Still verses 1 through 3. I think we've been here 9 or 10 weeks. Don't be counting. It doesn't matter. With a sermon entitled, "The Last Day of the Church is Coming." What should we do? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." Something we need to be reminded about. "That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts." We have been looking at the last days. We've been in the last days for a long time, according to Scripture. Last days begin with the coming of Jesus Christ. We've seen this. We've talked about this. And for the last 9 or 10 weeks, we have been looking at where we fall in the timeline of the last days. Are we close to the end? Are we close to the tribulation period? Or do we still have a lot longer to go? Well, the Bible tells us that these signs to be looking for, these things that will teach us and show us that we are close and that our time for being the church is slipping away from us. And that last coming of the last day of the church is coming. The rapture of the church. And what we see on this timeline is everything that's supposed to be happening towards the end, we see happening. And the rapture is in there somewhere. How much more time we have, we do not know. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. He may keep us here up until the very end, the last moment, to be salt and light, to be His team on the field. We have to be prepared for that. But we also need to be prepared to go when He calls His church home. Luke 12, verse 40 says this, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." You also be ready. Are you really ready for what we've been talking about? Do you really believe what we've been talking about? We talked about last time there's hard scoffers. People just flat out deny. But I told you there's also a soft version of scoffers inside the church. We believe it. We believe these things. But we really don't believe they're going to happen in our lifetime. Do you really believe this stuff? Amir said something about this the other day. I saw this little clip. I liked it. Play it, guys. Click. Click again. Go back. It played before church. There you go.
"You know, you can say, The question is, do you believe in your heart? These two things cannot be separated. You see, you can come to church and sing. You can give money. You can be a member. If your heart does not believe. And how do you know that you believe? You know when all you long for is that Jesus will come back. You know when all you want is to do good, not evil. You know when you hate evil and you love good. You know when you see the work of the Holy Spirit in you in discernment, what is of Him and what is not. You see how the Word of God works in you and through you. But if you don't even read the Word of God, if you don't even spend time with the Lord, how in the world do you expect Him to say, I know you, when the time comes?
So Amir describes those who are ready, are those who long for His return, for His coming. And today in the church, throughout the church, not just this one, but many, all, many are caught up in the cares of this life. They're not really looking to it. They're not wanting it right now. Caught up in the cares of this life. He describes those who are ready are those who hate the sinfulness of the world. Those who seek to bring good, to be salt and light in this dark world. Those who seek the Word of God and study and prayer. Who have the Word of God changing them. We know that's sanctification. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Amir describes those who are not ready as those who will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. It's going to be a phrase you'll hear today in our passages. I didn't plan it to be that way. It just happened to be that way. As I formed this sermon, as I was led by the Holy Spirit to choose the passages that came to my heart. And God has shown us it might be real close for the church, time of the church, to be taken. And then the worst time in human history will begin shortly after that. And He doesn't want anybody to be left. He doesn't want to say to anybody, depart from me, I never knew you. So as I formed this sermon, I was praying, God, let all of us listen. All of us can be better awake and more dedicated. But Lord, if those there are those that truly do not understand who their belief in you is good, but it's only in the mind, it's not in the heart, that they will see. They will see and hear what you have to tell them today. Are we ready? Are you ready? What should we be doing as God's children as we see the last day of the church approaching? What should we do? He says to be ready, but how are we to be ready? He tells us to be expecting. Well, as I asked God that question and prayed, I thought of this passage here in Luke chapter 12. Let's go there. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. The servant who is ready, who believes, is the servant who's doing his master's will, even though the master is not there. And this doing, I'm not looking at religious good works. This doing, as we understand in context of Scripture, is walking the faith. It's living your faith out there in the world, being salt and light, standing for the truth, not compromising with the world and with sinfulness. It is testifying of Jesus Christ, sharing your testimony, sharing with the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's doing what we've been called to do, salt and light. You see, if your faith in God doesn't help others find faith in Jesus Christ, what good is your faith? Let me say that again. If your faith doesn't help others find faith in Jesus Christ, what good is your faith? Is it as a treasure that you've taken and put in and you hide for yourself? We are to be doing, folks. That's what we're to be doing. Verse 45, but if that servant saying in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come in a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. How many of you guys want that to apply to you? If that servant says, I really don't believe it's going to happen in my life. I really don't believe that. And people say, well, you know, I really don't kind of believe it's going to happen in our lifetime, but I'm not beating anybody up and I'm not getting drunk. Now, that's the wording he uses there is, this is a parable. He's just saying that you're living like the rest of the world. You're not walking in faith. You've just kind of dropped your cross. You know, the cross that we're told to pick up and die to self daily and follow Jesus Christ, he kind of dropped the cross. But see, that's a characteristic, and Jesus is pointing this out. There are characteristics of true believers, those who truly believe, and those who don't, who claim it, but they don't. The difference is, how do you know you truly believe? How do you know you're ready for that trumpet? What's your faith, what you believe, what does it cause in you? Does it cause you just to kind of live life in the cares of this world like everybody else? Oh, you may go to church and things like that, but it doesn't really affect your faith, your belief in these things. It doesn't change who you are, your daily life. You're not concerned with reaching people because you're running out of time. You see, the faithful servant is doing his Lord's will. Jesus said, be my witnesses. Go forth and tell, make disciples. The unfaithful servant, proving he's not a true believer because he's appointed his portion with the unbelieving world, is the one who doesn't really care. He's not motivated. Verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do anything according to his will, knew the master's will but didn't do it, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. You see, the unbeliever out there who's never heard the true gospel, who's never heard what God's will is for them, who's never heard the truth of Scripture, oh, they're still worthy. They're still worth. You know, they're going to get their stripes because they're sinful. They all have sinned. But those who are sinners and they hear the truth and they hear what God wants for them, but they really don't believe, but they kind of believe, but they really don't believe it. And they'll give a half-hearted, okay, I'll attend church, I'll claim to believe, but, you know, I'm not going to be really committed. I'm not going to be those radical Christians who talk about Jesus all the time. Talk about Jesus out in public. See, that kind of person, they've heard the truth. They know what God's will is for those who truly believe. But they don't do the will of the Father. Only proving themselves to their own ignorance, unfortunately, that they're not believers. You can believe in God up here. You can have some knowledge called dead faith. But if it doesn't affect this, it doesn't change who you are, it's not real. And you're not ready. What's the will of the Father? This servant did not do the Master's will. Well, how many of that is you guys? Well, I don't know. I can't look into your heart. Let me show you something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. You should be growing in the faith. Your excitement and passion for Jesus Christ, it should be abounding. You should be changing more and more as you learn to walk with Christ. Just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, so your life should become more and more pleasing to God. The longer you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your life should become more and more pleasing. It's not religion. It's not, oh, well, I attend church every Sunday and blah, blah, blah. No, no, it's about the life you live, this relationship you have with God. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. And we've talked about this plenty of times. This is what the unfaithful steward did not want to do. That's what made him unfaithful and got his portion with the unbelievers. He did not want to do the will of the Father. He did not want to surrender to sanctification. Sanctification, Jesus said, John 17:17, your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Change them. Renew their minds. Restore their hearts. Change them from the inside out, from being a sinner who came to the cross, was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and now is a saint by the grace of God. And we want to walk and we want to honor Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We want to surrender ourselves to our Creator so He can form in us what we were meant to be. And our lives are going to reflect Jesus Christ so the world can see Him in us, so they can see what they need, so they can be saved, so they can glorify God. It's not about going to church. It's not about being a good person. It's not about doing good things around the church or out there in the public. Are you showing people Jesus Christ? A lot of people are good people out there, quote unquote. Even non-believers can be good, generous, kind people. Are you showing Jesus Christ? Is your faith causing other people to find Jesus Christ? Are you a faithful steward or an unfaithful steward? Because this whole Jesus coming back ain't going to happen in my time. I don't need to worry about it. I got too many things to do. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5. Not in passion and lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. We're not to be conducted with our emotions and with passion and tossed to and fro with the sinful things of this life. Like the Gentiles who do not know God, how we used to be when we did not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Now this is talking about this false Christianity, this false belief system that you show to other people. A lot of times mixed with sexual immorality. You're embracing you call yourself a Christian, but you're embracing things that are not of God. And other people are saying, well, she calls themselves a Christian. But wow, their life looks just as bad as mine. Why do I need to be a believer? Don't do that to people. You're defrauding them of the truth because you're refusing to live it yourself. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. You see, if you reject true sanctification, you replace it with religious stuff. And you're not really concerned with Jesus returning. If you're not concerned with showing Christ, it'd be best if you didn't tell anybody you were a believer. Technically, you're given all the signs you're not. Fooling yourself. But God says those who defraud people this way, he's going to cut them in two and give them their portion with the hypocrites, the unbelievers. Finally, I only got a few minutes here, and I'm going to close there with this. God just put it on my heart to say, listen, are your people ready? Is everyone that's going to listen to you, are they ready? Lord, are you giving me this sermon because it's almost time? You didn't give me a date or an hour. I know. I had the thought, man, well, would it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool if I really preached this and some people who weren't believers but got saved and then suddenly the rapture happened? At the end of the sermon, while we were singing the song, it could. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, the you who made up your own version of Christianity, not according to Scripture. You who say you're good enough because you go to church and you said a prayer and you were baptized, and that's as far as you're going to go. You've done clipboard Christianity. You've checked the boxes. Depart from me. You never knew me. I never knew you. One last passage, then I'm done. I can do this. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise. 5 were foolish. Wise stewards, foolish stewards. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, oh, my Lord delays his coming. They all slumbered and slept. Verse 6. And at midnight a cry was heard. A midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, no, let there not be enough for you and us. There's not enough. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They weren't ready. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready, the wise virgins, the wise steward, went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterwards, after that moment, the midnight cry, the trumpet of God, the rapture of the church. The other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord. Have we heard that before? Matthew 7. Why is Jesus saying the same thing but in different ways? Because it's such a problem. People who don't truly believe. but they won't accept it about themselves. And so pastors and teachers like myself need to confront you with the Word of God, saying, listen, does your life line up to this? Not that you're perfect, not that you, but do you have the desires of a true believer? Or are you just going through the motions? You've tricked yourselves. Jesus says it in so many ways. People were not ready. They didn't really believe. They weren't ready. Afterwards, the other versions came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. I pray that no one in here is going to hear that. But I'd be a fool to believe that at this moment that's not true. But I pray that it will be. Are you ready? Do you know you're ready? Don't let religion, don't let church traditions rob you. Maybe you've been defrauding the world so long with your Christianity, you've defrauded yourself. Are you ready? If the trumpet were to sound, are you going? We see the signs. Are you a born-again believer? Matthew 25, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Are you waiting? Are you wanting this? Are you excited about this? And you go, Pastor, but so many Christians before us, they were wanting it and it never happened. They spent their whole life waiting and they never had it. You see, the attitude of that made them live lives that mattered. Do you think they were like, oh man, I feel ripped off, God. You didn't come. I waited my whole life for you and you didn't come and I died. You think they're saying that? No. They're like, Lord, thank you for not letting me live in a slumbered state. Thank you for putting that into that expectation that you could return at any minute. It kept me focused. It kept me from being lazy. It kept me from kind of compromising. But folks, us, I think it's completely different. Many of the generations before us didn't have the signs that we have. Last slide, Levi. Last day of the church is coming, folks. When? I do not know. Today could be it. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe a year from now. Maybe a couple years. Don't know. But are you ready for it? And this is not something that, oh, I'll get ready later. That never works out. Either you're a true believer now and you want to get motivated, you want to truly live for Christ, or you don't. You want your faith to help others find faith. Because again, if your faith is not helping other people find faith, your faith is worthless. It might save you, but that's it. And if you're the type that says, well, that's good enough, I'm saved. That's not the heart of a true believer. Last day of the church is coming. What should we do? Well, Scripture tells us to be found faithful. To be found doing the faith. Not religious activities, not church traditions, but really doing the faith, growing in Jesus, sharing Jesus, showing Jesus, being salt and light. Maybe this morning you realize your faith doesn't compare to that. Your faith is the dead faith talked about by James in James chapter 2. I understand that. That used to be my faith. Your faith is just up here, but you believe this, but you really don't believe this. You believe that, but you really don't believe it. It doesn't affect you. That's your faith. You need to turn from that faith. You need to be born again. Because a born again believer, that affects us. You have a desire to be salt and light. To show Jesus Christ to the world. Become a true believer by being born again. So when Jesus calls the church home, you'll be ready. So the question you must ask yourself today, question that God put on me to share with you this week, are you ready? Only you can answer that. Are you ready? Because that last day is coming. The last day of the church is coming. Which means Jesus is coming. Team, come on up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that is exciting. That is, to think that we could be called home, stand before you, to finally see who we believe in. Yes, you call us blessed for those. Blessed are those who have not seen me but believe. But Lord, how blessed it'll be for us to finally see you. You promised you'd come for your church. You've warned us to be ready, to truly believe in you and allow your Holy Spirit to change us, to prepare us, to be about your business. For one day you'll come for your church. And that'll be the day I hope and pray that everyone that hears my voice, whether in this building right now or on the internet later, will truly be yours. They'll be faithful servants, faithful stewards. Lord, you are coming. We need to be ready for that. And we need to be busy about our Father's work until that moment comes. I ask you to help us to be that way, Lord, as a church. That we're a church that is faithful. A church that is standing strong in these dark days. Not in judgmentalness and rudeness and attacking people, but just bringing the truth, in love. But biblical love. And sometimes biblical love is hard love. But Lord, we can love people and we can show people the errors of their ways. Because most of us walked in those errors before they did. Lord, I ask you to help us to glorify your name among the unbelieving world. Help us to be salt and light among the unbelieving world. Lord, help our faith affect others and bring them to faith. Let it be said of us that you found us to be faithful when you came. Help us, Lord, to do that. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, I'm just a tiny bit over. Let's close this last song, because this last song just sums it all up this morning. Let's sing, guys. I know that's a hard song to kind of hang in there with at times. That's why I've only played it once before here. But the song, the meaning of the song just fits so perfectly with the sermon that I just had to play it this morning. So thank you, team, for doing that. We are Team Jesus. God has given us a message today. Does it apply to you? Well, it applies to all of us. But does the part of being unfaithful apply to you? That's only a question you can answer for yourself. Do not defraud yourself with religion or tradition. Either you're sold out for Christ or you're not. There's no riding the fence. There's no having your feet one with God and one with not. You can be religious. You can be a good person. And God will still say, I never knew you. Don't let that be said to you. If you think there's a chance that God could say, I never knew you. You need to come talk to me. Please. We are Team Jesus. Let's break out on the playing field of the world. Let's go be salt and light. Count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.